week, we looked at the account of the feeding of the 5,000 from several different angles. Mainly, we looked at the other people who were involved. But we realised that however you interpret the feeding of the 5,000, it was a significant and exciting event in the ministry of Jesus. And so it seems to have been for those who were present. For by the end of the day, they were ready to shoulder Jesus and march him through the towns and cities, proclaiming him their king. Jesus, however, realized what was happening. Realized that they were responding to the miracle and not to the message. And he slipped away into the hills. But the crowd wouldn't be put off so easily. And they followed him to the other side of the lake. Yet it seemed to them that it was a different Jesus that they found that day. For that day, Jesus started to get down to some serious teaching of the gospel. And apparently, as a result, their enthusiasm cooled until at last many of them drifted away. You know, that's not a scenario that many people include in their picture of the life and ministry of Christ, that people actually went away. But it is a situation which should give heart to those of us who seek to be faithful to the teaching of Christ in what appears to be an indifferent and even hostile age. The crowds couldn't get enough of Jesus while he was healing the sick, championing the underdog, and doing exceptional things. And it was the experience of many a foreign missionary over the years that people flocked to them so long as they gave them food and treated their physical ailments. There were hundreds of rice Christians in days gone by. And I heard some years ago of a similar state of affairs at a pop festival during a particularly hot spell of weather. One set of campers there were preaching the gospel and calling for people to make a commitment to Christ. They had a large barrel of water in which they performed the baptisms. And one observer declared that there were a significant number of people making confession of faith simply for the opportunity to cool down in the water barrel.
Thank you.
We've been through the start of our look at the aftermath of the feeding of the 5,000. What we're saying is, the crowds couldn't get enough of Jesus while he was healing the sick, championing the underdog, and doing exceptional things. And my other recent example of such an attitude was, I heard of parents who sought baptism for their child so that they could enroll him in their chosen school. Such instances, as we've looked at, typify the more general instance of people identifying with Christ and with his church, so long as they get something out of it. But it is when the rice bags are empty and the medical care provided by the state and the preaching begins to challenge men and women to reorientate their lives that the real test of commitment comes. Jesus said to the crowds who found him that day, "You're looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles." And he then proceeded to suggest that so often we spend our energies on supplying our physical needs to the neglect of our spiritual health. And he further goes on to speak of a relationship with God through him as the real bread of life. Now that then invokes an entirely different reaction. Clearly, this is just too difficult for some people to swallow, and we are told that many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. Now, you and I might have expected that Jesus would be so concerned to keep contact that he would have shouted after them, "Hold on a minute, and we'll see if we can work something out." But he didn't. Because to do so would have involved him in watering down the gospel, in deviating from the path of complete obedience to the mission which God had given him. It follows then that if the church today is to be true to this experience of Jesus, then the church must always preach the gospel in love, whether people like it or not. Now, such a statement begs the question whether we can always maintain our faithfulness to the gospel and our popularity with people. Take the situation when people who have no commitment to the gospel seek, among other things, baptism for their children, and are then confused when the suggestion is made that such a step involves a willingness on their part to make a commitment of faith. Can we maintain our faithfulness to the gospel and our popularity with people? The question is begged time and again. When the church urges you and me, who are its members and adherents and friends, constantly to rethink our priorities in life, to recognize that all work and no worship, all play and no pray are the paths which lead to spiritual starvation. And when the gospel challenges us in that way, it often finds a strange resistance to what is interpreted as interference in what should be a private matter. And many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. Friends, like most ministers, I always feel a burden to ensure that worship is user-friendly. And many a time have cast a silent prayer to heaven to ask whether I really did have to preach what I was about to say. Like, Lord, really? Yes, I always feel a burden to ensure that worship is user-friendly. But at the same time, I know that it cannot always be so. And that there will be times when the word that I believe God calls me to preach will put some people off. Those are the days I need to take comfort from Jesus' experience subsequent to the feeding of the 5,000. An experience which is humorously illustrated in the story of a minister and his wife who went to worship in another congregation. The minister of the congregation which they were visiting was very popular, and the church was very full. Noticing at one point that his wife was looking around rather contemptuously at a crowd that showed no visible mood of worship, and realizing that she was not impressed, the visiting minister whispered to his wife, "That's all very well, my dear, but I couldn't fill this place." "No," she replied, "but you could empty it." The thing is, the Christian gospel is not always, or even often, an easy, convenient, or popular option for living or proclaiming. Yet those who have chosen to serve the Lord know precisely what Peter meant when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." May all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to his Holy Spirit. Amen.